MMH, the home of rock radio.
Hi, this is Adam Onslaught for MMH, the home of rock radio. Our guest on today's show is someone I've been looking forward to interviewing for quite a long time now. And normally, during my grand introductions, I'll salute and perhaps list a number of their achievements, accolades during their career today. But with my guest today, we have a man in a rare position such as his who only looks forward. And to paraphrase, he says, "I never wanted fame or success. And I only focus in on pure, unfiltered creativity." Today, we celebrate, as his fans, 40 years as a solo artist and 50 years as a musician. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Michael Schenker to MMH, the home of rock radio. Michael, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Considering the circumstances of the virus, I'm doing fine.
I think we're all in a similar or the same position. But first of all, congratulations on these landmarks of yours. 50 years as a musician, 40 years as a solo artist, as we touched in the introduction. For you, though, you always seem to stay in the moment. Why is it important to you that you work that way, in that state of almost, I would describe it as music mindfulness, as you've always done? It's quite unusual and unique to you, I feel.
Well, you know, I'm a kid in a sandbox. You know, I don't compete, I don't compare, I don't look for fame, I don't have expectations. I just have fun being in a sandbox like a kid, playing recreational and just having fun of what I'm discovering, you know, play and discover. And so very early in life, I discovered that I wanted to, first of all, I got inspired, you know, by people like Jeff Beck and all the 60s. Great guitarists, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to start learning from somewhere as a 9-year-old and then, you know, playing like a hit parade and copying all sorts of music and stuff. But when I was 15, I actually started to realize that I want to be Michael Schenker. And so in order to be that, you have to go within yourself. And I discovered the infinite spring of creativity. You have to have courage. I mean, many people take from the trend because they may not have the courage to be themselves or want a piece of the pie of something that stereotype commercial and sells, and it's a guarantee, and they get a piece of the pie. And because most people, you know, run for fame and success, et cetera, et cetera. But it was never the case, you know, for me. And if anything, I created a trend because of me, you know, going to the inner spring. I created a lot of fresh things that people hadn't heard before, and they didn't hear it before because I didn't take from the same trend. Many people in the 80s copied my guitar style, and I guess I created a trend in a way. I also don't see any point in doing something somebody else is already doing. He's already doing it, so what for? So, like, but I have the not just the confidence of being myself, because it's not just actually confidence because I'm not chasing anything. It's just pure self-expression, having fun, putting three notes together, creating goose pimples, and discover something that is not known to the world, but it's only inside yourself. Everybody has got that. It's just a matter of choice. If you want to stay outwardly and chase fame and money, or be an artist and you want to self-express, and pure self-expression is what I want to be.
And for you, that's important, I guess, because everybody or a lot of people spend an awful lot of their own self-energy sort of searching for answers within somebody else, comparing their lives to other people. And whilst they're doing that energy, they're not looking after themselves. They're not focusing on what's important, which is to develop their own self. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would say as well, whilst we're here, and I can catch you in a particular moment, let's talk about your new album, Immortal, under the Michael Schenker Group. Congratulations. I had a listen to it the other day, from start to finish, and every single track just gave me a bigger and bigger and bigger grin. It's an album what I would describe as joyful. It's a real testimony to your commitment of getting the job done, particularly with, we touched on it right at the beginning with this particular pandemic. I'm fascinated to know what the logistics of this album has been like to put together. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a very chaotic and like I said, everything is based on circumstances in my life. And so I had a plan in 2019. I realized that my 50th anniversary was coming up. Mm-hmm. And for me, it starts the first note I put on a record, which was 1970 when I was 15 years old.
That's in search of the peace of mind, yeah?
Yeah. And most people go by release date, but, you know, the release date could be 10 years later, but that is not real time. What is real time is when you actually put the first note on the record, when you actually made it, you know, that is what the celebration is. And I was going to celebrate this with musicians, fans and friends. And it was dragging on and on and on. And I realized, I mean, it's so hard to get musicians from all over the world together and put something together like that. And so I kind of lost hope because I thought this album could not be released in 2020, which would be 50 years of my first note on a record. But my agent told me that, but Michael, your album was released in 72. So I said, so I've got 2 years, maybe even three, to celebrate this. You know, it was actually fantastic news. And so this time I said to myself, you know, I will make a compact. Yeah, I look for a compact band and celebrate it with the current Michael Schenker Group, you know, the 50th anniversary. And, you know, everything is Michael Schenker Group since I started in 80, but it has subtitles, you know, like Temple of Rock and Michael Schenker Fest, but it's all Michael Schenker Group. And so I asked Ronnie, who was singing We Are the Boys on the Michael Schenker Fest album. And he's a fantastic singer and he can sing like anybody. And I actually gave him, you know, all the songs and he agreed. And then the compact band was going to be, Brian Schopf, Ronnie Romero, Steve Mann, Barry Sparks. Barry Sparks kept emailing me, Michael, I want to be your bass player. I said, you got it, you know, and so I had a band, you know, and the funny thing was, that, you know, I started writing music and when I was ready to go to Germany to Michael Foster's studio, my co-producer, I saw on the TV that there was something going on and that was the virus. You know, all of a sudden, my usual route that I take, I always go by car via Eurochannel and France, Belgium, Holland, etc. I couldn't do that because everybody was on lockdown or, you know, the borders were closed. And eventually we found a way going via Harwich to the Hook of Holland. I had to sleep on the boat for 7 hours. And it was quite an adventure. It was an unknown journey. I was a bit nervous about, but I made it. Holland wasn't a problem. And so I ended up in the recording studio and put down my music that I had written. And I had to do that 4 times, not just for recording, but we had to make singles, videos, et cetera, et cetera. So every time I came back, I had to go on 14 days quarantine, except for one time. And it was a total of 42 days. And if I would not have done that, this album would have never happened, you know. But it's the Michael Schenker group, and I have to sacrifice, and I did it, you know. So it was time for Ronnie to sing, and we called him up, and he said, sorry, I can't, everything is locked. I think he lives in Bulgaria. And I don't want to go on 14 days quarantine. I have commitments, et cetera. I can't afford this, et cetera. We said, don't worry about it. We call you back. We'll see what we can do. Amy, my partner, she's a bass player, and she's got a very good taste, and is a music consumer. And I haven't been listening to music for 50 years, so I don't know what's out there. And I said to her, you know, we have a problem here with Ronnie. Do you have any suggestion for a singer? And she said, Ralph Schippers. And I said, okay, I trust you. And I said to Michael Foss, what about Ralph? He said, absolutely. And the next day, they were recording. I couldn't believe it. And got another song out of him. And then, at the same time, Brian Tichy, one of the best drummers in the world, he was with Ozzy and Whitesnake, etc., who was a Michael Schenker fan. He called up and said, I heard about the 50th anniversary. I want to make a contribution. I offer six drum tracks. I said, what? You know, I was absolutely shocked. Then he calls back Michael Foss and says, a buddy of mine is a keyboard player, Derek Sherinian. He is also a fan. You heard about it, obviously, from Brian, and he wants to make a contribution, you know, with the song. I said to Michael Frost, wow, I mean, as far as I know, he's a top 10 keyboard player, a heavy duty. I mean, what are we going to do with him? We have already got Steve Mann doing the coloring. I purposely put all the guitars down myself to keep it guitar oriented and as much Michael Schenker as possible, since it is the 50th anniversary. And so I had Steve, you know, just do some coloring. He's very good at that, like Paul Raymond was. Mm. And he agreed. And so I said to Michael Foss, what are we going to do with the heavy duty? He said, maybe you can do a jam with a keyboard, a guitar and keyboard jam. I have never done that before. He said, well, maybe it would be great for the 50th anniversary to do something new that you have never done before. It would be like an additional surprise for the fans, and it would be very exciting, interesting. I said, you mean like Sean Lord and Richie Blackmore? He said, yeah, something like that. I said, wow, wait a minute. You know, maybe you're right. You know, this is something I've never done before, and especially if I have the opportunity with a top-notch keyboard player, maybe it could turn out into something incredible. It became Drill to Kill. I tell you, I was shocked when I heard Ralph's, when everything came together and I heard Ralph Schippers' voice. I didn't even know there was such a voice. I mean, when I heard the whole result of the drums and the keyboard jam with the guitar, when it was all put together, I was absolutely shocked. I went, you know, here was a situation. Michael, what is going on? What I actually planned in 2019, I could not get together myself. Then I put together a compact band. And then the virus comes and destroys that plan.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get more than I could have ever put together myself. It was nonstop throughout the whole album. I mean, it's like a gift from heaven. You know, it's like Michael, you don't need to do anything. We do this for you. I tell you, I mean, phone calls were coming in from all over. We called up Ronnie again and said, like, are you ready? So he lost already two songs. And he said, no, sorry, I'm still quarantined, 14 days quarantine. I can't do this. Okay, don't worry. We think of a solution. I said to Michael Foss, co-producer, what should we do? He said, what do you think of Jolyn Turner? I said, Jolyn Turner, one of my favorite singers. He's a fan. I'm a fan of his. You know, the next day they were recording. I could not believe it. And then got another song from out of them. And it just continued like that endlessly. And then one morning I came back from the hotel, and Michael Foss always writes B plans for singers, just in case, you know, like lyrics and melodies while I'm putting down the backing track, just in case singer gets lost or needs some help. And so he said to me, here, this is what I did to that power ballad, you know, which a power ballad. I've never done a power. I don't know where the power ballad comes from. As far as I know, I've never done a power ballad like that. And so he wrote some lyrics and melodies, and he was singing it, and he played it to me. I said, Michael, this is so beautiful. This is unbelievable. I mean, no, he actually did Warrior as well, the vocals and the, you know, it became one of the best songs I've ever done. And so I said to Michael, this is so beautiful, so from the heart. I can't imagine anybody else singing this song. I mean, it's so fantastic. And plus it's a power ballad, you know, which was an additional, you know, wow, you know, something I've never done before being put on this record. And I said to Michael, you know, you have to sing this song. I can't imagine anybody else singing this. And then there was another song, The Queen of Thorns and Roses. And it was an unusual song. And the way he also had a, you know, he said, listen to this one, you know, I did that as well. And I said, Michael, this is incredible. I give you those two songs. And so there was four less for Ronnie. and so we called Ronnie again. Ronnie, are you ready? Eventually he was ready. And so that's when, you know, and then he started singing. And of course he did fantastic. I mean, what he did and, you know, with the Sail the Darkness and you know, Come On Over and then there's a bonus track, Fighter, you know, which you probably never heard, which we are saving for a B-side or something, for a single, if we want to, you know, have some extra. And Night of the Dark or of the Dead. And so Ronnie did unbelievable. And so in the end, he ended up with four songs. And then, you know, I had this song, In Search of the Peace of Mind, which was a very important song because it was the first song that my first note I put, my first music I have ever written at the age of 15, all by myself in my mother's kitchen. There was nobody there. When Michael Foss actually sent me the original credits for Lonesome Crow Scorpions, and it says lyrics written by Michael Schenker and Rudolf Schenker, we had zero knowledge of English. How could we have written the lyrics? I mean, a complete misinformation. It should have said Michael Schenker music and lyrics by whoever did, you know. But I was only 15. They were already 21. And they all wanted the piece of the pie that I had created. This composition was actually quite complex for a 15-year-old. It includes double picking. Rudolf can't even play that song today. And so, you know, how could they have credited themselves, you know, taking advantage of a little boy in a sandbox, you know, just having fun. They're unbelievable. And so then was called also In Search of the Peace of Mind, which is the theme of my life, you know, looking for contentment, freedom and peace and et cetera, et cetera, and fulfillment and so on. And then there was a solo on there, which I would never change a note ever. Like Stairway to Heaven or Theme of the Imaginary West. And sometimes it happens, you know, you write something, you don't know where it's coming from, but it's so perfect, you will never change it in 100 or 1,000 years. And so I couldn't understand why I was able to do something like that, because you can hear on Lonesome Crow that I'm developing. I'm an amateur. I'm learning. Where is this leaf break coming from? That is so perfect. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, what is going on, you know? And so that was another reason, you know, for that song being so important. And then, you know, I wanted to Because for all of these reasons, I wanted to make it special and wanted to make it an epic. And so I added a lot of guitar playing on the end of the song. And when I listened back to it, it sounded like an inner conversation, actually describing 50 years of my journey on lead guitar. Like, there is so many different emotions in there. I'm using the howler, the wah-wah pedal, the low bending strings, so much emotions in there that it's like an inner conversation like we all have, you know, like, should I go this way, making choices, you know, should I do this or should I do that? Should I join Ozzy or, you know?
Possibly like one of your only moments of reflection, I would imagine, throughout that those 50 years, I would say. Wouldn't that be right?
Well, you know, when I didn't plan it to come out that way, but when I listened to it, I was listening to a speaking guitar that was talking about all my drama and crisis and good times and bad times, emotional ups and downs and et cetera, et cetera. It's all there. It's like I can hear the guitar. It's like an inner conversation between yourself, like, you know, question and answer. It's unbelievable. I don't know where that came from. It just happened, just like that lead break that I played as a 15-year-old where I would never change a note. It's just incredible. You know, I love Gary's mid-range lower voice. It sounds like a man. He has vibrato. He has the feeling, the such a warm sound, you know, for the first verse of that song. I asked him, can you make a contribution, you know, singing the first verse? He would be perfect for that. He said, absolutely, Michael, I'll do that for you. And then Ronnie was singing the second verse when he got higher, perfect for him. And then I had an idea and I said, like, you know, Mike to Michael Forrest, like, maybe we can ask Robin McCauley and Dougie White and Graham Bonnet, you know, to do a, and I try, you know, as a contribution, yeah, you know, to the 50th anniversary. It's just like a little bit of something, you know. And Ronnie, Graham wasn't available because he had a shoulder operation. So we had Dougie and Ronnie and Robin doing that. So I ended up with a Michael Schenker fest on that same song. I mean, I could have not planned anything like that ahead of time.
I have to say, it is now understanding the story of the album. No wonder it brings the listeners so much joy. Michael, I have to say, thank you so much for joining us here on MMH this afternoon. Really do appreciate your time. Thanks for everything. And we wish you the very best for positivity for 2021 and onwards, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keep on rocking.
You too, brother. Cheers.
Yep,
thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
MMH, the home of rock radio.